candidates have filed for Skagway's upcoming municipal election, and we've got a pink salmon update. This is your KHNS local news. I'm Claire Strempel. Those stories and more are up next. The deadline to file as a candidate for Skagway's municipal election has ended. KHNS's Henry Leisha has this update on who will be running.
There will be elections in Skagway this October for mayor, the school board, and the borough assembly. Current mayor Andrew Kermata is the only candidate who will appear on the ballot for mayor. Mayoral terms are 2 years. Kermata was elected this year in a special election to serve the remainder of the current term following the death of Mayor Monica Carlson in December. Three Skagway residents are vying for 2 seats on the borough assembly. The terms for each seat are 3 years. Assemblyman Orion Hansen's term ends this October, and he is running for re-election. Residents Sam Bass and Dustin Stone have also filed to run as candidates. The terms are ending for 2 seats on Skagway's school board. 1 seat is a 3-year term, and the other is a 2-year term. Skagway residents Jamie Bricker and Cesare Leopold have filed to run for school board. There is still an opportunity to run as a write-in candidate in any of these elections. However, only those who filed to run before August 12th will appear on the ballot. Those who wish to run as write-in candidates must submit a letter of intent to the municipality of Skagway before September 27th. KHNS will provide up-to-date coverage of the municipal elections in Skagway. Stay tuned for profiles of the candidates and forums covering the issues facing the borough. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
2 civil cases were filed against Skagway tour companies this month. A Texas couple injured in a 2017 Unimog accident is suing Alaska Excursions and Norwegian Cruise Line for negligence. They claim an Alaska Excursions guide stepped from their Unimog vehicle and did not set the brake. The truck rolled down a hill and tipped over. Several passengers were injured. The couple is seeking $500,000 in damages. And a California tourist is suing Alaska Riders, a motorcycle rental company. The plaintiff's spouse was killed in a crash involving one of the company's rental motorcycles. According to court documents, the plaintiff was steering around a corner on the Klondike Highway when the kickstand of the Harley-Davidson motorcycle came down from its upwards position and prevented him from completing the turn, causing the fatal crash. He is seeking a jury trial for negligence. Southeast Alaska's pink salmon harvest is turning out to be what managers expected, but where the fish are returning isn't consistent. KFSK's Angela Denning reports from Petersburg.
Southeast's pink salmon harvest looks like it will reach the state's 18 million fish forecast. It's close to the peak of the run, and the harvest is around 10 million fish. The harvest range is predicted to be between 15 to 26 million.
And it looks highly likely that we'll end up within that forecast range.
Andrew Piston is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Pink and Chum Project Leader for Southeast Alaska.
Overall, there's been poor pink salmon returns in much of northern Southeast Alaska, so the bulk of the harvest is occurring in southern Southeast Alaska.
While there has been little harvest in the northern areas, the southern harvests are tracking close to the 10-year average. It's not exactly clear why northern Southeast is seeing a poor pink return. Pink salmon usually return to spawn at 2 years of age. Those parent year escapement numbers are calculated into the state's forecast formula. And Piston says in 2017, those parent numbers looked strong. But that's not the whole story. Salmon might return to spawn, but their young don't always make it out of those streams. Just last year, the state started partnering with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to also look at the juvenile pink salmon leaving the streams. NOAA has been gathering that data for a few decades through trawl surveys. Piston says it's showing a correlation between the number of juveniles leaving the streams and the number of adults returning the very next year. That's the case this season as well. While there were strong pink escapements in 2017, there were very low numbers of juveniles leaving the streams in northern Southeast last year.
They probably had poor survival in the freshwater and early marine environment because there just was not a lot of juveniles even heading out to the ocean.
During the season, state managers track the pink salmon population by looking at seine harvests. They've been doing that since the 1960s. They also have gathered other harvest records going back to the late 1800s. Piston says pinks are like other salmon species and that their populations have fluctuated a lot over the decades.
Pink salmon runs were really low in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and then they increased dramatically in the 1980s, and they kind of reached peak average harvest levels in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, and since that time, the average harvest has generally been trending downwards.
As the pink salmon run continues in Southeast and managers gather harvest data, more will be known about the pink season overall. But as it stands, fishermen in the southern areas are seeing a much better year than their northern neighbors. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
I'm Claire Strempel for the KHNS Local News. You can hear these stories and more on our website at khns.org or follow the podcast on Stitcher or NPR One.
What was it like? It was tense, it was ugly, and it was very disappointing to everyone whose communities depend on marine highways.
This month on Lynn Canal Voice, we're talking about the future of the ferry system. Lynn Canal Voice is a public affairs show from the KHNS newsroom. So tune in at 10 a.m. this Thursday for Lynn Canal Voice.